Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's celebratory, feeling very Gucci, unk.
And it's your boy, 35 All-American.
And it's your boy, Dapper Dakota Dan.
Dapper Dakota Dan, what's going on, Dakota Dan? How was the Dakotas? Did you go to both?
I'm still here. I'm in Fargo right now. So started off in Wyoming, went through South Dakota, up in North Dakota, heading back tomorrow, boys. But it's pretty up here, but I'm ready to get back to Florida. It's a little cold, a little chilly up here already. So
you're needs to be back in the heat. You're on the Caucasity tour.
That's right. That's exactly it. You know, I don't think anything summarized the Caucasity more than on Saturday when you guys were celebrating the Auburn win and we were talking a little bit about this show. And then I just sent you a random picture of a bison. I said, guys, what do you think?
Man, I didn't even know what that was. That's the first problem. So I really ain't know what my text back.
I'm sitting on the Mod's couch. I'm like, man, your boy dancing in those fucking water buffaloes, bro. I don't know what's going on right now. And you're trying to celebrate a big win right now.
And at that point, I don't even... Shit, I bet water buffalo. I thought it was just... Man, what, man?
What is he doing?
I don't know. What's that going on, man?
That was crazy. I realized after that was probably not the best time to send it because I didn't even say anything about the game or anything else. Guys, what do you think of this big buffalo that I saw?
We just went from three rounds healing the game to a water buffalo.
I don't know, the Caucasity, you know, that's the thing. That's why you guys keep me around. You just never know what you're going to get.
All right, hey, my best time. Let's go. Homecoming was amazing, Dan. I'm mad you missed it, but yeah, you had a great time checking out the water buffaloes. But homecoming was amazing.
Tell me more about it, boys.
Well, we started off at Friday night. We pulled into town. I linked up with Black. Go through his crib. We ended up going to the. We all linked up to have something to eat at Buffalo Wild Wings or House of Wings. One of those wing houses. We had some wings. And then went down to our event downtown. I'm telling you my favorite part of the weekend, though. You know what I'm saying? Of course, the game, outside of the game. So we walk in, we leaving the game from Annie's tailgate. We walk in, and Black had already told us, he's like, yo, man, like, I'm finna stop somebody. We can give us a ride. It was me, him, Major, and Cam. So after we walking a little bit, Black waved down the truck stop. Black tell who he is. We jump on the back. Before Major got on, he's like, yeah, and I'm Major Wright. So we sit on the back of the truck. We're just riding along. Next thing you know, the back window opens. And this guy says, hey, you mean to tell me 30, 35 and 21 on the back of my bed?
Dan, I don't need a drink. This man say, y'all want a beer? I'm like, hell yeah. I'm a
phone
cold. I said, man, I don't even drink.
Oh my god!
Hey, man, one of the guys was from Texas, man. Them dudes was happy as hell to know that Ahmad and Major's on the back of their truck, and they saved our night because we was about to walk about 10 miles to the back of our vehicle.
They saved it, man. we were like, man, yeah, just take us up to the Publix. But, you know, dude was like, no, nah, I'm going to take you to your car. And I'm like, shit, well, hey.
He would have been your personal Uber valet for the entire night. You guys missed out on an opportunity there. Wait for me here. I'm going to go do some water moccasins. I'm going to go drug and slump.
My boy was ready. They both hopped out the car so fast. We took the pictures. I was just so glad they got us to the car because I didn't feel like what I was going to be tough.
Yeah, it was about to be a long night of footing it back to the vehicle, man. But Black, what's your favorite moment?
My favorite moment had to be, you know, just you know, hanging out with you guys in the bars and stuff, man. And the White Buffalo, you know. White Buffalo was slapping. Man, me fell.
Speaking of Buffalo, right?
Yeah, you at the wrong Buffalo, right? Dan.
so we in White Buffalo, man, and you know, just hanging out with the fellas, and you know, I had a few people in town, a few friends in town. Shout out to the Lockwoods. I had them in town, and we were just hanging out. So you know, that was about, you know, the best time besides the game this weekend. You know, plus when we got back to the crib and hanging out.
So tell me about the game. Black, you were on the sideline. So it looked like you guys had some pretty good seats.
It was loud, Dan. From the jump, man. When Freddie Swain caught that pass and got in the end zone, Dan, that was a different type of loud, Dan.
Yeah?
No, it was different. Like, LSU last year was louder and insane to me. This year, bro, we had about three or four moments where big plays happened, and that thing was, like, rocking.
Damn, that shit was loud. So I'm here for it. I embraced it. I told them I'm the YG of the Gators, man. I'm at the home games. When them boys score, when y'all score, find me, man.
No, my wife said, why every time they score, I see a model on TV.
We down there. It's gonna be a
party. Hollywood.
It's a party in the swamp every time. Y'all having fun in the stands on the sideline. It's a party. We tell
them. I'm gonna tell you what, bro. The sidelines, they look lit, but I'm gonna tell you what, I'm never gonna sit again. The student section, bro.
No.
Don't ever do it, Dan.
Ever since I graduated, I've not been able to do it. I mean, they're standing in the whole game, it's hot, people are pushing each ignorant. Other over, people are cramming in.
It's ignorant in there, but we had some nosebleed seats. Man, TJ grabbed some seats last minute off of Twitter. Just to get in the stadium. I didn't really want to go in the game, but we got a good deal. So I was like, okay, cool. While we was on the top, somebody hit us up. Was like, hey, I can get y'all into the student section. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go down there. I had no idea. I never been in the student section. The minute I walked in, I told TJ, I said, bro, I think this was a bad idea. Like, the seats are close. They're close seats, but... Yeah. I'm just thinking it looks crowded. I'm not thinking about
standing
up. I'm like, it looks crowded. I'm like, whatever, good seats. So the first quarter goes by. I noticed they hadn't sat down between plays and timeouts and commercial breaks. At the end of the first quarter, you know, it's a break time. I'm figuring everybody's going to refresh, sit down, and regroup. Bro, I stoop down, get off the bench to sit down, and I noticed that nobody else was sitting down. So I look up at my dog Chloe, UF grad. She was over there with us. I said, "Hey, what's up?" Like nobody sitting. Say no, they don't sit down in the student section. I was like, "Oh my god, this is a terrible idea, bro." It was so hot, Dan.
That was an awful idea. That was a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Man.
All right. So what was the best part of the game? Was it the first touchdown? Was it the P. Ryan run? What was your favorite part in the swamp?
I think it was Sean Davis' pick because that thing was clutch, boy.
Yeah. You hear me?
I think that was Sean Davis, you know, because when he picked that thing off, that shit just turned the whole game around, you know?
Still, my favorite moment still got to be the P. Ryan run, bro. It was just like he was due for one, and I called it before it happened. That was the amazing part. Like,
yeah,
everybody in that section was like, why do we keep running the ball? I told TJ, I was like, bro, we got to keep running the ball because it was one tackle several times before that happened. We was one tackle break away from taking it to the crib. I was like, we got to keep running at this front because they're not respecting the run. Two plays later, bro, LaMichael P. Ryan breaks the tackle, and the rest is history. But LaMichael Perine's been getting, I'm not going to say a lot of criticism, but a lot of people been questioning his running ethic, his efforts, and has he lost a step? We all said that Damian Pierce was running better than which he was, but I just think it was a great moment for the team, LaMichael Perine, the fans went berserk, and it was absolutely, probably his loudest point was at that moment, man. So that was my favorite part, bro.
Yeah, so I watched the game in Rapid City, South Dakota. You've probably never heard of it. I hadn't either. So I had to, I looked on online. I was like, well, where's a good sports bar in the area? So found one a couple blocks from my hotel, walked over there. I said, hey, can you turn on a Florida Gator game? No. So I was like, hey, can you turn on a Florida Gator game? He's like, I've been here 4 years, and this is the first time I've ever heard somebody ask me for a Florida Gator game. I'm like, less talking, more TV changing. So I caught it right when Swain, so I was listening to Mick Hubert in the car or on the walk over, and then caught the Freddie Swain touchdown. But it looked like an unbelievable atmosphere, man. I mean, the stadium looked packed from the beginning, but you know, that Sean Davis touchdown or that Sean Davis interception, and then that Perine touchdown. There's a video going around where somebody dubbed out all the audio except for the crowd noise. And so it's funny to watch, you know, fan reaction. So he'll break the first tackle and the fans are like, oh, okay. But then it looks like the linebackers or cornerbacks, whoever it was, were closing in on him. And then he broke that tackle. And there's always like a half a second delay from like when something happens. So when the crowd cheers and then it just gets electric, man, it would have been an awesome game to be at.
Bro,
I had chills.
That shit got
I was still a little off. Like, people saw pictures of me on TV or whatever, man. It was people still cheering. I was still just standing there, like, I was just in awe, bro. It was
at when P-Round scored. It just, that's when what Urban used to always say is when they check out, and when P-Round checked out, bro, they did not want none of that shit no more, bro.
Yeah,
they did not.
No, it was just wild. It was wild to me because I was told last week that there was no chance that Florida could ever be ahead of two scores on Auburn. And so I was like, surely this is coming back. But no, then we were up 11 points. And I'm like, man,
let's go ahead and get right into the game then.
Hey, before we get started, so got to give a shout out to our friends at South Georgia Pecan Company. They're always good people over there. You know, it's holiday season coming up. It's Thanksgiving time. Maybe you want to give out trick-or-treaters, maybe something a little bit different than candy. Whatever you want to do, give our friends over at South Georgia Pecan a call, georgiapecan.com. Great people over there. Use our coupon code. It's SGP10. The number is 10 off at georgiapecan.com, or give them a call at 800-732-2646. Again, South Georgia Pecan Company, georgiapecan.com. Start us off.
Yeah, before we get into it, bro, don't get anybody pecans for Halloween, bro. These kids are gonna egg your house. Don't do that at all.
I'm just trying to think of different ways to buy pecans, you know. I don't really care. I'm just here for people buying pecans. I'm not here for the egg
result,
bro.
Absolutely. I feel you, bro. I just had to give that disclaimer for the people. So let's get into it, man. SEC Offensive Player of the Week was Freddie Swain. Defensive Player of the Week was Sean Davis,
yeah.
So shout out to both of those guys for playing a hell of a game. Dan, who you got besides those two for offensive and Defensive Player of the Week? And then off to Black next.
I think on defense, I think David Reese played well. I think he led the team in tackles. He actually leads the SEC in tackles, but I thought he did a lot. But, you know, I would say him or Jonathan Grenard was in the back. He was disrupting the game all game. Really liked the way that he played. I think they only had two sacks on the game, but at the end of the day, you know, Jonathan Grenard was disrupting, keeping Bo Nix thinking and guessing. And, you know, I think because of the way that our defense was playing, and it wasn't even a heavy blitz package, and maybe just because the way that I saw the game, maybe I didn't see them all, but it didn't look like Todd Grantham was going very heavy blitz. It seemed like Florida was able to get a lot of pressure on Bo Nix with just that front four or maybe a linebacker. But great game by them. And then I don't know. I might go with Kyle Pitts. You can tell that there's a big connection between Kyle Pitts and Trask on the way that they play. You know, he had another big game. You know, he's slowly solidifying himself into being one of the best tight ends in college football right now, or at least in the SEC. But I think he had, what, 7-8 receptions, 65 yards or so. So
correct.
I'm going to say him outside of Freddie Swain. What about you, Black?
Yeah, on defense, you know, he's been probably some of y'all sleeper. He's a guy that comes in and plays hard every week. You know, he's made big strides from last year. Moon, you know, Jeremiah Moon,
yeah,
man, he's
been balling real good.
Moon's been making some plays, and you know, I've been very impressed with how Moon been playing, how hard he's been going. It's definitely a different Moon from last year, you know, and the year before that. So I like Jeremiah Moon. The rest of the guys on the defense played well as well, you know, but he's just one of the guys that stood out to me. I remember Major asking me, like, man, who's number seven, you know, a few times. So Jeremiah Moon. And then on offense, I got to go with Kyle Pitts as well. Kyle Pitts made some great catches down the stretch. I know on one drive we went to him like 3 or 4 times. I think we turned over the ball that drive was towards the end of the game. But we definitely seen a star in the making on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll go with on defense. I go a pair of defensive tackles. I go Marlon Dunlap and Adam Shuler. I think quietly, yeah, them boys have been holding their own. Them standing in their run lanes and their gaps and whatnot, respecting each other's gaps, and everybody saying gap discipline was very important for the Auburn game. And those guys did a real good job with standing their lanes and doing what they had to do it between the tackles. Offense, just because I got to go with somebody different, Kyle Pitts did his thizzle as usual. But I'm going to go with Emory Jones. Next man up is the mentality that we've been rolling with since Mullins got in the job, especially this season. Guys go down. Whether you're a freshman, whoever you is, the backup, you got to step in and provide a spark or keep things flowing. Emory Jones came off the bench when Kyle Trask was looking like he probably was out for the season. He came in, and we went right down the field and got some important points, man. So I'm going to go with Emory Jones, man. A lot of people want to see more of Emory Jones. So yeah, we'll see going forward, man.
Yeah, he's Emory Jones is taking huge strides even from last year. You know, he showed yesterday, I think, in my opinion, that he could – throw the ball around quite a bit. You know, he had that one play where he overthrew the wide receiver a bit. But other than that, he looked like he had command of the offense. And, you know, that requires the defense to have that, you know, that extra, you know, set of, you know, something in the back of their mind that he can run the ball. You know, I'm not sure I love the dive play every time he runs the ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's progressed a lot further along than I thought. I thought he was maybe 2-3 years away from being a key contributor. And that's, you know, ultimately what Florida needed at the time. But when Trask went out and I let out some audible curse words inside of a very nice Rapids, whatever city I was in, Rapid City, South Dakota restaurant, you know, to see him come in and like you said, Silk, lead him down to some points is huge. And it means that, you know, he might even have a bigger role on this team, because I truly think, you know, Kyle Trask leading the team, but you put Emory Jones in there with that threat to throw the ball, and Florida has a good offense, especially with, you know, 6 games into the season, still pretty shaky offensive line.
Let's get ready to the quarterback talk then, Dan. Emory Jones, Kyle Trask. Kyle has been doing his job, obviously, moving the sticks. We've scored every first drive that he's quarterback. So every drive he started a game, he came in, we went down and got points. But he got some things he got to work on. In my opinion, I mentioned it in previous shows, and it showed his head again this week. Yeah. He's holding the ball a little too long. What's your opinion with there, Dan? And do you think he get it fixed, or should we see more Emory? What's your opinion? Just to get it out there.
Yeah.
Have this conversation.
Yeah, no, I think it's tough. I mean, you know, you had, what, 3 fumbles, you know, on him. That's just not going to fly, you know, against LSU. It's not going to fly against Georgia. You know, Florida's really, you know, fortunate yesterday. And big shout out to the defense. I mean, as a whole, you know, the fact that they were able to – Auburn never scored in the red zone. The fact that Florida had, what, 3 or 4 turnovers, and I think they only scored 6 points off of them. You know, big shout out to the defense. But this is my thing with Kyle Trask, is I think it's still getting up to game speed. And I think that as the – you know, as he gets more experience, you know, that's going to allow him to get the ball out a little quicker. He's got to be able to make that read, or he has to know when there's pressure coming in, especially at that, you know, off the tackle position where, you know, we've seen less than stellar performance. He's got to know that he's either got to get rid of the ball, or he's got to, you know, try to get whatever he can moving the ball forward, you know, whether it's running the ball or throwing it, you know, out of bounds or whatever. But, you know, what I'm seeing right now is I'm seeing him, like you said, Silk, hold on to the ball a little too long. And I'm afraid that it's going to be a little too risky. I still think he's your best option. Yeah. At throwing the ball. You know, I think that he is a little bit more accurate than Emory Jones right now. I think that he has, you know, some really good rapport and relationships, especially with some of these guys that have been with the program, you know, 2, 3, 4 years like he has. So I'm comfortable keeping Trask in, but at the end of the day, you know, if we get in a situation where we're fumbling the ball again, I'm not ready to hand over the reins to Emory Jones, but I'm definitely willing to, you know, let him rent out the keys for a little bit longer than I would have earlier in the year. What about you, Blatt?
Yeah, I definitely think Trask is our best option. He's just got to understand when that pocket's closing down, and he has to have that timer in his head to where he needs to either let the ball go or take what he can get. And we can't take sacks in big games. We definitely can't take sacks, and that can be, you know, drive killers, you know, and or, you know, when his arm's back, he's gonna fumble like he did on Saturday. So, you know, he got to have that timer in his head. And we, you know, I think Emory pretty much has it. You know, he's more of a dual threat, though. But, you know, in certain situations, I think we should, you know, start, you know, seeing both options. That, you know, that confuses the defense.
Yeah, I think Emory's getting that ball off fast. Cal is definitely our best option. I think Cal, you go deeper in the playbook with Cal. I think you get more reads out of Cal. I don't think Emory's going past a certain amount of reads. That's why he's getting it out so fast. And I think Dan's got a certain package for Emory. I think if Emory got the whole offense, it'll look different for him as well. But right now, Cal's our guy. I like Emory for coming in for 30% of some snaps, getting more snaps, though. I would like to see him more in the run game. Even when he came in, the quarterback dive looked different. The read looked different. This is a different run game when he's in, so I would like to see him get more snaps just because of the run game, for sure.
Yeah, I hope Trask is healthy. You know, what I saw after him coming back in, especially the first couple plays coming back, and then I didn't notice it as much as, you know, when he's stepping forward, you know, and putting pressure on that MCL. That's the one thing that I'm concerned about. You know, I wonder if Florida might, you know, lessen his load a bit, you know, during the week this week to try to let that heal up a little bit. But definitely when he came back into the game, you know, he looked like he was definitely favoring that knee a bit more. So that's the one thing that I'm concerned about, is because if he can't step into that pass, then he's not A, as accurate, and B, is certainly not, you know, can't throw the ball as far, which is already a weakness that he has. So that's something that I want to watch for as well.
Yeah, and also he got, like, he missed some plays out. He left some plays on the field. One couple overthrows across the middle that I'm a little concerned with. He missed Swain twice over the middle. I'm just happy a safety wasn't on top of both of those, because those are some high. You can't miss high over the middle. You can miss high a lot of places, but if you keep missing high there, I think that's gonna that's gonna rear his head as well in the turnover bracket, is him throwing high and missing some guys over the middle. But overall, you can't. I mean, it's hard to complain. We got the win. We got some things to clear up on the read option. He needs to pitch that one pitch to Malik, and that's probably
that's
six.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
That's touchdown, bro.
That's six. Yeah.
That's touchdown.
We got to close the door on teams. We can't leave teams that open, and because the next play obviously was a turnover. So we got to close the door on teams when we got them on the ropes in the red zone. We got to finish those teams off. We're letting teams hang around. Because to be honest, in my opinion, fellas, we could have beat that team 24-6 or something, like, ridiculous,
yeah,
to be honest.
Well, I think Florida, if they don't turn the ball over a couple times, I mean, I think that you're even looking at bigger than that. I think you're looking at Florida with maybe 34, 38 points, right? Because, you know, they turned it over in the red zone once or twice, or close to the red zone. Yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, those are points. It probably at least six, if not 14 points.
You've recovered a fumble on the 2-yard line and got a personal foul.
Yeah, that's something. That,
come on, bro.
That was an off the ball.
And then the next play, a couple plays later, we turned the ball over. It was a fumble.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things. That's, you know, the first time, you know, and we've talked about it on this show. You know, I think one of the things that Florida's really improved on is their lack of penalties. They're so much better than they were before. But that's one penalty that you can't have, right? There's no reason for that. It was an after the ball, you know, or, you know, dead ball penalty. You know, Florida has the ball on the 2-yard line to do something. And I didn't see, you know, what the penalty was. I don't think they showed it on TV. But that's something that you just can't do if you're getting the ball on the 2-yard line. That's, you got to be smarter than that.
And we couldn't even, at that point, we weren't even moving the ball good. So, you know, we could have quarterback sneaked from the 2-yard line.
Absolutely. You know,
that's an easy touchdown, you know. I think they caught Campbell for pulling the dude off the pile or something like that.
Yeah, you know, he's pulling somebody out of the pile that was on top of the guy. But we gotta just take care of and be, you know, so we gotta be a mature team. And it's gonna happen every now and then. Campbell's a high emotional guy. It's gonna happen every now and then, but we just gotta be, you know what I'm saying, a grown team. We got mature guys and leaders on our team, so we just gotta be mindful of that all game. I wanna talk about the overall defensive performance, man. It was one of the best defensive performance I've seen.
Yeah.
I don't think it's one of the best Gator defenses of all time. But as far as performances, it's one of the best performances I've seen ever by a team that was given short field after short field, put in a lot of bad situations. They walked out of this game with giving up 13 points.
Yeah, bro, that's crazy. We gave up one touchdown, right?
Absolutely crazy.
So yeah, it was one touchdown and kind of a blown coverage on the shading of the safety. But other than that, yeah.
And we gave him a short field. So
correct.
The defense. And it was crazy because every time they come to the sideline, we were sitting over there by them and standing over there by them. And we were telling them, keep your head up. You know, you got to stay focused because, it's adversity. Adversity strikes. If that offense turned the ball over, man, y'all got to be ready to go out there with no hesitation, with no, watch the shot. Because, usually after a turnover, the first or second play is going to be a deep ball. That's what teams
are. Yep.
And these guys were like, oh, it ain't no worries. They were discouraged. Not one time they got mad at the offense. Not one time did they blame anybody or point fingers. I heard Grantham getting in their ass and telling them, let's go. And that's
absolutely
all I
know. Big pause.
I was very impressed about that.
Yeah, big pause.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I was just going to read off some stats for you guys because I think it's important to kind of think of the magnitude of what this defense is, right? I mean, there was a lot of question marks, what Florida would be on defense this year. We weren't exactly sure, with losing Polite and losing some other folks, you just weren't sure. So Florida's number one in the country in takeaways and interceptions right now. That's awesome. They had two sacks. They've had 17 straight games with a sack. Auburn was in the red zone once during the game. They ended with 0 points. Florida's only allowed, listen to this, Florida's only allowed opponents to score 5 times in the 14 times that they've been in the red zone. 5 times. So that means they're the 0 to 20 yard line, which is probably an automatic field goal, and teams are only scoring 5 times. So that's 35.71%, which is 17 percentage points, which is obviously a pretty large number, better than the second place team in the country. And then finally, Auburn was averaging, 251.2 yards coming into the game on Saturday, and they only ran for 109 on 33 attempts. So his defense has been don't break. And like you said, you were giving them short field, you were causing turnovers, they were coming off short breaks, in short rest periods. So big shout out to that defense.
I don't even know if they're bend but don't break because they're so aggressive, Ty Grantham calls it such an aggressive defense. I think it's more of a high risk, high reward type defense. I don't think our defensive tackles are anything elite, but I think everybody, it's just such a disciplined defense. Like even with Schwartz and how big of a threat he is and big of a weapon he is, he could never get nothing on the edge. We did such a good job of containing that offense and keeping everything boxed in. It was just so much disciplined football going on the back end. I was very impressed though. But the safety's got to get better still. Sean Davis came to play ball, but we need another guy beside him to stay disciplined and do that thing, man. So if we can find that other safety spot, somebody to do that thing right there, man, we may have something here, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think you made a great point there, so, because you're like, I don't think Florida's defense has a bunch of, all SEC guys. I mean, I think you could add Grenard. We have – and they did this all with Zuniga out too, right?
Correct.
I think Grenard is probably an all SEC guy. But, outside of that, Florida has a lot of really good talent back there. But they're all just playing their part and they're playing it well. And, they're averaging, giving up 9.5 points a game, which is incredible. You've played 3 SEC teams. You've outscored them by 40 points. Big shout out to Todd Grantham's defense. And, I think what we saw in Saturday's game was different than, what we've seen in previous games, because I don't think it was as aggressive. And you guys, might have saw something a little bit different, but I don't think it was as aggressive as we've seen previously. But it shows
it wasn't.
But shows that they can play well with that, as well, and modifying with that. So I think they're really starting to come in on their own. And I'm excited because we have the number one SEC scoring defense against the number one SEC scoring offense this upcoming week too. So this will be their opportunity to shine.
It's going to be a special one.
Black, before we move on, give me your opinion. You're the safety expertise on the show. Let me get your opinion on that other safety spot, man. It still seemed like a struggle. We was waiting on Brad Stewart to come back to give us a spark. He gave us, he showed us a little something, but nothing solid. And also that rotation. I want your opinion on that as well. Give me your opinion on the other safety spot and the safety rotation that we have going on.
Well, I kind of, like I said before on another show, and this is just my opinion, I feel like we should, you know, possibly try Trey back there. I like 31 closer to that ball. I just, you know, I want a dog to come off that edge and whatnot. And also, who's been getting better also, Marco. Marco's been getting better.
Yeah. As we had some great open field tackles.
Yeah, and now he's coming in like a missile, so I wouldn't even be surprised. But Trey's good at blitzing, though, so we need somebody who's solid at blitzing, who's going to put an edge on our defense. You know, whoever may that be, that put him at that star spot. I just think, you know, Trey should be better at safety. You know, but that's not my call or my decision. You know, we just got a good group of guys back there. We got some young guys that was able to get some experience when CJ was out. But CJ looked kind of good as well this week too.
Yeah, everybody. I think everybody looked good. CJ gave up one play snooping in the backfield. That long catch that they end up getting, but we got Donovan Steiner got the interception after that, so it kind of erased it. But we did give up one play on the back end. But for the most part, I mean, number three showed up, got him another interception. The rust is shaking off, dog. He looking physical in the run game, coming up smacking shit. Excuse my language. So overall, can't be mad, man. We just got a few things we need to clean up. Let's talk special teams a little bit. I think that punt was a big key part of the game. That thing hung in the air forever.
Yep.
And it kind of hit the ground, and I don't think the returner like dropped. He didn't muff it. It just hit the ground and rolled up on him so fast he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, big shout out to Tommy Townsend on that one. You know, I want to talk to you guys about that fake as well in a minute. But, you know, I think Tommy, you know, he had some good punts. You know, he had a couple that rolled into the end zone. I think he had one where Auburn, you know, the Auburn returner fooled the defense or the special teams, you know, a little bit about where the ball was going. And they, you know, they probably could have been able to down. But other than that was a great, you know, kick by Tommy. You know, the biggest thing about being a punter is not just booming the ball as far as it can go. It's being able to get the hang time to let in black. You obviously know this as well, is to give, you know, your gunners the opportunity to get down there. And them being there and being there in the right position, you know, was huge. I mean, that was turning the game around. You know, I wish Florida could have scored on that play. But, you know, at the end of the day, that was a huge, huge play for Florida.
Also, another thing that Townsend did was he held the punt one time. You remember that?
When he just that was dope.
They wasn't sending anybody.
So he got gave time to his gunners to get down the field. So
We was able to down the ball to 10 on that same play. We downed that to 10, and they had a holding call which got them half distance to the goal.
To the five.
So they backed up to the five. That was a very key part of the game. And Johnny Towson came to play some football this year, man. Besides from that fake punt, everything's looking very good.
What are your thoughts? I mean, you know, my thoughts, and I tweeted it right after. It's like sometimes you're going to get that play, and sometimes you're not. You know, Florida ran that exact same play. You know, not necessarily the design same run, but you know, ran that same play against Miami. Was able to get a first down this time. I think we had a missed block, and I don't remember on who it was. You know, but that, you know, what do you guys think? Is that a play call that you guys would call? Do you think it was the right time, right position on the field, or?
It's always a time for it. It's a number game. So, you know, it depends on who they got in the box and who they bring in, who they're not bringing. We always call it rocket option. So we always had the option. Chaz had the option of kicking it or running with it.
Here's my take on it. I think they, it's got to be some situational football. And sometimes you tell that guy, hey, just punt the ball. I don't care what they do, because their offense just couldn't move the ball. And I think it was just not a good football play. I don't care who's in charge of the decision. I just think it wasn't a good football play just because we're winning that game. We're controlling the game. The offense hasn't driven the ball a single time. Make them go the distance of the field and just play defense. Right. Let our defense get us the ball back like it has done the whole game. So that's the only reason I don't like it. I think it needs to be some situational stuff where you just say, I'm pretty sure in some situations he tell Kyle Trask, hey, no matter what, keep this ball on a reoption. It's a keep, just keep it. Right. And kneel or get down. So it's got to be situational football. We got to be better at that. I just think we was on the other side of the field with our back against the end zone. I don't think there was a time and place for that.
Yeah, it was a little risky in my opinion. I don't know. I didn't catch the press conference afterwards. I'm not sure if that was Tommy's call or if that was Dan's call or if it was a hey. It's Tommy's call. This. Yeah. So you know,
I think it's a permanent. I think it's a permanent thing. He makes that read every punt. You know, so I think we just need to throw in some situational football. Like, hey, we're on the 10. Yeah. Let's not do that.
Right.
Let's just kick it out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, yeah, big shout out to him. Big shout out to McPherson, too. You know, again, you know, hit another field goal. I think he's made, what, 24 of his 27 kicks. And I think he even made one against Kentucky that they said wasn't good. But, you know, nearly automatic. You know, he hasn't missed an extra point. I know that that's, you know, something that we take for granted. But, you know, if you remember 5-6 years ago, you know, there was nothing that was automatic about the kicking game. So big shout out to him, too, because that's huge. And he's a guy that you can rely on, which probably allows Florida to be a little bit more aggressive when they're at the, you know, 25 to 35 yard line of the opponents to try to get that score. But they also know, hey, if we don't, we've got a kicker we can rely on. So big shout out to him as well.
All righty. Before we get into this LSU preview, put some respect on my man Ty Grantham's name. You know what I'm saying? I think he got a lot of heat during the Kentucky game and also a little bit of heat during the Miami game about the defense and the performance. And I think sometimes the fans get a little ahead of themselves, man. Ty Grantham's an elite defensive coordinator. I think what he's doing, the job he's doing with our defense this year, it's a blessing we didn't lose him to the NFL last year. I think it's a big part of our season right now. We're relying on that defense to get us the ball back a lot.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, these guys, it's like they're hungry every game. They get hungrier and hungrier every game. And they're going out to play and they're buying into the program. I love how we getting better every single week. And what we always say, that we don't got to be the best in the nation. We just got to win the game. And you know, I'll take the underdog role. Give us the underdog role.
We'll already, especially in the swamp. Like, I don't know what them people was thinking.
I don't know what they thought. This was, but, no.
All right, before this, we finna get to this Georgia. I mean, I'm sorry. I got Georgia on my mind. We finna get to this LSU preview, man. It's brought to you by the good folks at Gator Kicks. Any kicks you need customized, you need the fly shorts that my man Ma had on at the homecoming this weekend. I gotta get them shorts, bro. It was too fresh. I gotta get me a pair.
You like them? Everybody was in.
Yeah, they dapper. I gotta get me a pair. If you need some
Mod's entire outfit was Gator Kicks.
Yeah, Gator Kicks. Gator Kicks sponsored me this weekend, so I appreciate
the whole weekend. Hella fresh. I ain't getting no legendary shit done, bro. Even though I'm an All-American, as like my man George Reister said last week, I don't have any All-American gear. So, hey, Gator Kicks, y'all holler at me, man. Let me get some All-American gear, bro. You heard it, man.
I need some more shirts, man. Hey, Gator Kicks, let me know when they hot off the press with the white tees, man. I need a white one.
Okay, we got a writer coming on to kick it with us, Brody Miller from The Athletic, LSU guy. So let's bring him on. Let's chop it up and see what he got to say about LSU in the matchup.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
And joining us for the first time on Stadium and Gale is Brody Miller from The Athletic. Brody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good. So we've got a big matchup in Death Valley this weekend between number 5 and number 7. Primetime matchup. Brody, tell us a little bit about what you expect and kind of what Florida fans can expect out of LSU in that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very different LSU offense than Florida fans saw last year, that's for sure. I mean, I think you know, it's an LSU offense that right now is, you know, number 1, 2, or 3 in the country, depending on what metrics you're looking at. And I really think this game is going to be fascinating because, you know, we did see that Florida pass rush and Todd Grantham's defense just cause havoc on LSU's offensive line last year. And I think it was 11 tackles for loss. And
yeah,
it's generally the same offensive line. It's not really any, it's a little better, not drastically. So I still think Florida should certainly win that battle. But I think the biggest difference you'll see is it's such a different looking LSU offense now that they'll get the ball out faster. You know, they'll get the ball out. Joe Burrow is kind of like a machine right now. He's getting the ball out in 1-2 seconds and hitting this loaded receiving corps with ease. So I think that's the thing I'm most fascinated about watching this week.
What changed so much from Joe Burrow? I mean, Joe Burrow was a, you know, a highly rated guy at Ohio State, transferred to LSU with a lot of fanfare. I know Florida, you know, fans were looking at him closely. Went to LSU last year, had a decent year, right? I feel like that's a good word to use for him. But this year, it seems like this year he's, you know, lighting the world on fire. What changed so much in the last 9 months or so?
Yeah, it really is fascinating, right? Because, I mean, he was solid. You know, he was okay. He won them 10 games. You know, he did his job. And he was always a really smart guy. He always knew that. He knew he was tough. He knew he was a good athlete. And he could do some cool, good things. But he was never – like, he's making throws this year that he simply wasn't physically able to make last year, right? Like, some of these throws we're seeing 40 yards downfield right on a dime in the perfect spot in the back shoulder. He just flat out wasn't able to make that. And I think you know, there are a few different things that factor into it. I think for one, you know, I think some of it is he didn't play competitive, you know, like real college football for pretty much since he hasn't played real football since high school, if you think about it. So right. I think there was just a lot of little nuances of the game that kind of, you know, got lost with him. And I think one of those things is footwork. Footwork used to be like one of his calling cards. You know, he's not somebody with a super strong arm, but that used to be one of his best traits. And I think, you know, being new to all of this and kind of readjusting, I think he'll tell you he got away from his footwork and really made a lot of mistakes footwork wise. And that was the number one thing he went to work on this year. And you know, you read the things about the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees's of the world. I mean, the number one thing that, you know, Tom House, a 3D QB and all their high tech stuff teaches is it all starts at your feet and the power comes from there. And then it's not really arm strength. That's kind of a misnomer. So I think footwork is the big deal of it. Then also just being here for another year. It sounds like such an obvious thing, but you know, he arrived in May, got to know the guys for like a month or so, and then all of a sudden was the starting quarterback. I think now you have a whole off season to actually get to know these guys. They spent countless hours on timing, just sitting, you know, working alone at the facilities, getting their timing down, running routes with all these guys. And then the last piece of the puzzle is obviously this offense that Joe Brady brought in. I mean, he's one of the sharper young minds in football right now. And I think this offense is just kind of perfectly made for Joe Burrow's processing ability because he is such a smart guy. I think it's a combination of all those things.
What would you say is the weakness of the offense?
Oh, I can definitely say the offensive line is the weakness. I could say that pretty confidently. The receiving core is pretty loaded right now. It's, you know, probably right behind Alabama and the SEC off the top of my head. The running backs are pretty solid and reliable. They all bring different things. Obviously, Burrow looks like a Heisman candidate right now. But that offensive line, I mean, we saw Florida dominate it, and there's improvement, but it's not drastic. I mean, there's still, you know, pass protection is still a concern. They haven't really, from numbers, it looks better, but they have not faced a pass rush like Florida's yet. And, you know, the run game, it's tricky because, you know, the numbers look good right now in the run game, but a lot of that is Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually just breaking a kind of absurd amount of tackles. For example, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is last in the SEC in yards before contact, but he's, you know, I think he's number two in broken tackle percentage. So he's kind of bailing them. It's crazy, right? Yeah. So they're actually like, I think number 30 something in success rate, but still, like, I don't think that's really accurate. I think he's bailing them out a lot. So this offensive line is something that, you know, we saw it before and we might see it again, where Florida can definitely win that battle.
If there's a way that Florida can win it, walk out of Death Valley with a win, how do you think they pull it off?
Oh, it's a good question. You know, I'm interested to hear your guys' opinion because I understand that Todd Grantham's kind of blitzing less this year and whatnot. And obviously Florida has the talent to be able to cause havoc with a 3 or 4 man rush. I think that's one of the few ways you've seen teams stop this offense is, you know, sometimes you can get Joe Burrow to maybe sit in the pocket a little longer when you have that, you know, when teams have dropped, you know, 7, 8 guys back in coverage. The Utah State, you saw them at a lot more third downs than normal because of that. Texas did it from time to time. I think you could have some success there. And when you have a pass rush like Florida's, you can get a rush without sending pressure. I think that's probably your best bet. But on the other hand, I think this is an LSU defense that it's really talented. I mean, there are 3 or 4 guys that'll be first round picks in a year or two, but it hasn't been really convincing yet. So I think on the other side of the ball, the main thing is teams have been able to pass through the middle of the field against them. I mean, I haven't seen the numbers since this week, but going into Utah State, teams were completing 75% of passes inside the hashes. I mean, and from what I understand, Dan Mullen, that's where he likes to throw a lot, right?
So right, and that's where Kyle Trask likes to throw the ball too.
There you go. So I think on that side of the ball, that's your best bet there.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to you know, that was my next question. It's like, should we be worried, or, you know, should LSU fans be worried about the numbers they have given up on defense? Obviously, they're putting up prolific numbers on offense, but it seems like, you know, whereas this isn't the same offensive team that we're used to from LSU, it doesn't seem like it's the same defensive team too. Now, I've only watched, you know, one of their games against Texas, but, you know, what are you seeing on the defensive side of the ball? Do you think it's because their offense is scoring so much that just the defense is getting a little bit more worn out, which is why they're letting some yards up, or what are we seeing? Cause it doesn't seem like they're as taught as they've been in the past.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something I've, to be honest with you, been really trying to figure out myself this past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. I think you have to start with the injuries. I mean, I think, you know, that's not, you know, every team has to deal with injuries in college football. So, I mean, they were without 3 starters last week on the defense, or 4, actually. They were without, I think, 5 the week before that. I mean, just the injuries are really piling up where, you know, for about 3 weeks, they were playing without 3 of their 4 starters on the front 4, and they lost one of their safeties, and they, you know, they played without starting inside linebacker for a few weeks. I think, you know, I just think it's naive to say that doesn't factor in. And right now it looks like they're getting pretty healthy. I mean, it's Caleb on Chase on their star pass rusher returned last week. And then Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan, you know, there's a chance they return this week, and Michael Divinity, you know, he might return this week. So you're seeing this team get healthier. And I think you can't deny that that plays a huge part, especially with the pass rush that's been kind of underwhelming at times. But then you go from there, then there's tackling. There was a 4-week stretch where tackling was kind of bizarrely just a genuine issue for this team. And I think you do start wondering, okay, is that because of the tempo? And, you know, Ed Orgeron will never admit it. And he always kind of shuts that question down when we ask about it. It's a good problem to have, I think, and I don't think he wants to admit that. But I definitely think that makes a difference. And the proof of that was Utah State this week. LSU slowed down their tempo. You know, they went from 2-minute touchdown drives to, you know, 4.5-minute touchdown drives, and they ran the ball more, and they gave their defense a rest. And LSU's defense was dominant. They gave up, I think, 159 yards total. They didn't miss any tackles. So I think that's kind of proof that maybe the tempo does have a factor. And then the last thing, you know, with the defense about why it hasn't been perfect is that pass issues in the middle of the field. So I think of all the things I just named, all of those seem fixable, except you got to figure out what the problem is with that pass defense in the middle of the field. I think that's something, you know, is it Kerry Vincent at slot? Is he the problem? Is it some of these safeties have some issues, or is it the zones they're playing that leave some openings? I'm not entirely sure, but my overall answer to your question is I still think it's a good defense that when they're healthy will be, you know, in the top 30 in college football. But no, I don't. But I no longer think this is going to be a top 5 or 10 defense that I thought it would be before the season.
What do you think the scouting report is on Dan Mullen's offense? And now that they have 2 quarterbacks, kind of dual thing going on, what's the scouting report from LSU side?
That's a really good question. I wonder if they're more – they're more focused probably on just Dan Mullen and what Dan Mullen likes to do, right? Because Dan Mullen, as we all know, is, I mean, I think if you look back at the past 7 years of college football, I think Dan Mullen's the one coach who has had Dave Aranda's number the most. I mean, he dominated him when he was at Mississippi State, and then he dominated him again last year. And obviously it wasn't from a numbers point of view, but he found exactly where to go against that defense. It kind of took him to school on a few of those touchdown drives. So I think they're probably a little more focused on that. And, you know, Kyle Trask, I don't know. I'm curious your guys' opinion, but does he have one thing that he really is going to just flat out beat you on, or is he just a guy who knows how to run this offense and do his job?
I think he, like Dan said earlier, he'll check down if you have to. One thing Frank struggled with was taking what the defense would give you. Kyle will take that. I think Kyle holds on to the ball too long sometimes, so that's the flaw in his game that I think. But as far as he don't have any, like, tendencies, I don't think. I think he'll spread the ball around. He's a guy that just try to find the open guy, but sometimes he holds it too long.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's perfect for a Dan Mullen offense.
Okay, cool. So the spread right now is like 13.5, 14, or something crazy. What do you think? How do you think this play out?
That number is bizarrely high. It almost makes you wonder if there's some injury or something that – they know that we don't, right? That's right. It's a pretty astronomical line. I mean if you see a 14, I feel like it's hard not to go Florida there, because I mean you got this Florida defense is I would say probably the scariest in college football right now. And then you have a Dan Mullen offense that knows how to control some clock, knows how to stay in that game. I kind of would have to take the 13 or 14 points, but I do think this LSU offense is pretty high powered, and I give the edge to LSU to win this game for sure.
Can we get a score prediction out of you? Or
absolutely, yeah. I'll go 34-21. So basically, I'm saying the spread's pretty perfect.
Okay, all right, man. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and read your stuff? You know, great stuff over at The Athletic. So where can they find you online? And
absolutely. You can follow me at Brody A. Miller on Twitter and follow me at The Athletic, theathletic.com. You know, there's usually always a promo code going for 40% off. So feel free to message me or something like that, and I can set you up with a promo code.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Brody, we appreciate your time. We really love what you guys are doing over there at The Athletic. We'll see how it all plays out on Saturday. But thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, man. Shout out to Brody. Stuff. Yeah, good Athletic. Stuff. Real good stuff, man. Different tune than last week. I still don't agree with that spread. I think it's a one-possession game. We're away. We're going into LSU Stadium, so the crowd is going to be a factor. How we communicate, our offensive line not having penalties, and us playing behind the chains is going to be a concern of mine. What are your concerns?
The same thing. You know, we cannot play behind the chains. We get, you know, paying back deep in our territory, man. It's just going to be tough, you know, with the crowd noise. I just want our guys to be able to focus. You know, be on the same page. We get on the same page and we go up 7 and, you know, possibly 10. I swear it'll be a different atmosphere. It won't be the same. So, you know, we got to deal with it at first, man, and try to get up. Otherwise, that shit going to be nagging all night long.
Yeah. I do think I like our chances in this game, and I think we can win it because their weakness is their offensive line is one of our strengths. If we can make them one-dimensional and Joe Burrow got to beat us with his arm and they can't run the ball and the only thing they can do is pass, I like our chances. I like my secondary. Win 31 is that safety. I'm going to go ahead and put that disclaimer out there. I like my secondary, and I don't think he's just going to be able to drop back and have the time and get comfortable back there, man. We just got to stay in the game and make it. And if it's a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, I like my guy. I like Dan Mullen over Coach O. We just need to be a one-possession game in the fourth, baby.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious to see what LSU defense we get. You know, they gave up a bunch of points to Texas, and I think that Florida has just as good, if not better, offense than Texas, you know, especially at the quarterback position. You know, this is it's going to all come down to, you know, can Florida, you know, force Joe Burrow to make the passes that, you know, that Brody said that he can make against some really good defensive backs. And this is going to be by far the best, you know, pass defense that LSU will have faced. You know, Florida, you know, has dialed back the blitzing, it seems like, you know, over the past couple games. You know, if they turn that up and, you know, the offensive line for, you know, LSU is a question mark. Well, it was a big question mark for Miami. It was a big question mark for Auburn, you know, when Florida was able to penetrate, you know, both offensive lines and be able to get to the quarterback and force the quarterback to beat them. And both times they weren't able to do it. Marco's better than he was, you know, at any point this season. Right now he's playing that way. CJ Henderson's locked down. I love the way that Jonathan Grenard's playing. You get Jabari Zuniu coming back. You mentioned Shuler and Dunlap. You know, the way that they're playing, you know, I really like the way that Florida's defense is playing to a point where they're going to force Joe Burrow to beat them in the air. Now, the big thing that Brody brought up is, you know, making sure that you don't let their running backs get the ball past, you know, that first hit, right? You know, we need to tackle them. We need to wrap up. You know, we had a good game against Auburn when it came to wrap up tackling. But at the end of the day, you know, Florida's got to make sure that they're strong there because we can't let, you know, that guy get in the second and third level because of missed tackles.
Black, what's your concerns? Oh, you already said your concern. You had the same concern as me. Yeah. How you see it playing out? Score? How you think this unfolds?
It's gonna be a tough one. You know, at the end of the day, I still like us because, you know, I mean, like they haven't seen a defense like ours yet. You know, and I don't want to keep harping on that every week, but you know, we got one of the top defenses in the nation. And for the schedule that they've played so far, You know, they have put a lot of points up, but they didn't really play no defenses that well. You know, they let Vandy put up 38 on them, you know, and all due respect to Vandy.
Right.
It's got to be, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to pass like that. Burrow's not going to have that much time, and at the end of the day, he's going to fold. I think that's who he is. But he hasn't had nobody to test that and to make him get in that situation. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree with that, but I do think he's a guy that will burn us on the back end if our safeties ain't up to the challenge.
If we bullshitting in the back end, yeah,
correct.
He will
burn us. Yeah, he will torch us on the back end if them guys are not playing the type of football we need them to play. You know what I'm saying? So they gotta come. They gotta bring their A game. We're on the road. We need to keep the crowd out of this game early. You need to create some doubt early and just stay in it to the fourth quarter. We make it to the fourth quarter. This is a team that hasn't seen themselves beat Florida. You know what I'm saying? So that doubt's going to creep in. We just got to get to the fourth quarter, one possession. And I like my chances to do that. Like he said, and a lot of these people got to know that Dan's a guy that'll shorten the game. He knows how to do that, bro. He did that when he beat Florida the first time we played him at Mississippi State. He shortened the game, keep it one possession, and he gets his shot and delivers in the fourth quarter. So it don't matter the matchup. I think he going to shorten the game to keep it close regardless. But I think we could beat this team, bro. Like, I'm not seeing anything on film that has me – besides the receivers. The receivers are crazy, scary, good, and fast. You know what I'm saying? Ja'Marr Chase is the real deal. But it's going to take more than one guy to beat us, bro. And it's going to take more than one guy for us to win. You're not going to beat us with one guy, and we ain't going to win one guy. It's going to be a good team football on both sides of the football. Whoever wins the game, we're going to play a better team ball.
Yeah, no, I think you guys just nailed it. You know, I think that Florida needs to get out fast. I think that they need to score on that first drive like they had the last three games. You know, I think that Florida is going to be one of the better offensive teams that, you know, LSU's played thus far, you know, right up there with Texas. But I think their defense is, you know, is a lot stronger. And, you know, I really like the way that Florida's been playing defense recently. Like I said, the concerns that we had after the first game, you know, have substantially gotten better, right? You know, with Marco and, you know, the safeties are playing a little bit better. I think we're still, you know, figuring that out a little bit more. Grenard and, you know, like I said, you bring Zuniga back, you know, but at the end of the day, we've got a position right now where you've got a really strong defense in Florida against a really powerful offense in LSU. I don't want to discount them at all, right? I mean, they've got a great offense. They got the number one offense in the country right now. But I do think that Florida is going to be by far, you know, until they play Alabama, you know, one of the toughest team or the toughest team that they've played on defense, you know, thus far. I really like the way Todd Grantham plays. You know, Florida was able to beat them last year when they shouldn't have probably beat them last year and certainly the year before. So I really like the way that Florida's coming into this game. I think they're coming in hot. You know, they're coming off a big win against Auburn. You know, LSU had a, you know, kind of a weak game against, you know, Utah State last week. So, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, Florida's got to come in strong and they've got to, you know, stay focused. And this is their first, you know, real true, you know, I mean, you know, they played Kentucky and they came back. So, you know, this is a, you know, another opportunity for them to come in and shine and stay focused. But, you know, I like Florida's chances. It's, you know, I'm 50-50 on this one though.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't know. I mean, I just see a lot of balls that Joe Burrow throw up. And he's a great quarterback, you know, and they're a great team, a well-coached team. They always are. They have, you know, we recruited some of those guys. But some of those balls that he threw up that, you know, especially last week when he threw five touchdowns or whatever he threw and he was just throwing – I mean, it was running past the DBs, just running straight by him. And he was just it wasn't no pretty, you know, throws or he had to throw it in between people or nothing like that. I mean, he was just dropped back and he threw it to more talented receivers.
Yeah, the passing windows are going to be smaller for him. I just think we're a well-coached team. And we're on, like, our team is mentally tough as hell. So I'm not worrying about these guys having a problem with that on the road or nothing. I know we're going to come and play football hard for four quarters. I just need us to play mistake-free because we're on the road. We can't afford to give this team turnovers and expect our defense to hold because they got the crowd and all that now and the home energy. So we just need to take care of the ball. Like, we need to take care of Florida. I'm not worrying about anything on LSU sidelines, to be honest. I'm worrying about us shooting ourselves in the foot more than anything. Cause I think we're going to be well coached and have a game plan to beat these guys. Us shooting ourselves in the foot with holding, fumbling, offsides, whiffing on blocks. That stuff we clean up, we good to go.
We got to hold on to the football, and we got to win the turnover.
Got to. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's bullshit, man. We causing all these turnovers, and then we turn it over our own self. So it ain't really no big margin because of that, you know. So we got to win a turnover battle. We got to you know, make that margin a little bit bigger and cause turnovers and turn the ball over less.
All right. Scores.
Yeah, I'm excited. Whew.
I said 21-14 last week. I damn was close.
Cam was the closest last week.
Yeah.
What do you have? 24-14, right?
Yeah, he 1 point off.
Yeah. What'd you say, Monty? You said 21-14 for this one too?
This one right here. I'm gonna go 24-20. Gators.
Oof. Okay. I'm gonna go 31-28, Florida.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 27-24, Florida. Missed field goal at the end. They try to tie, go at halftime. How about that? Cam, what you got, bro?
I think it's gonna be a little bit higher scoring. I'm gonna go 34-27.
Oh, I like that. It's a lot of perks.
I wonder if how Florida does in a shootout, right? It's been a long time since we've seen a Florida shootout. You know, I don't know if this offense is built to shoot out a team, but I'm here for it. You know, this is a very different team on defense of LSU that we're used to. You know, they're not used to giving up this many points. You know, but again, you have, you know, the number one SEC defense versus the number one SEC offense. I'm curious to see which part wins out. I'm thinking that defense is going to win out a little bit more than offense, but you never know.
Ain't nobody finna shoot us out, Darren. That's just what I believe. Like, I think, to me, like, if they hit 30-something points, I'm a little upset because I don't think this team could just shoot us out like that. They got talent. But I think Ty Grantham is about – he's with all that. He want all the smoke, bro. I like Ty Grantham's defensive mind. That's my guy.
Yeah, I don't know where this point spread's coming from though. It's a seems like a
it's
lot.
Spooky.
You know,
it's spooky. Yeah, it's definitely spooky.
Yeah, I don't know where to get this from. Do you think Ty Grantham go with somewhat the same game plan last week and stay rushing four guys and dropping back seven, or what you think?
No, I think he's gonna mix it up. I think he's gonna send some pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe that's why you've seen him dialed back a little bit. You know, I think that, you know, LSU's offensive line, is there a weaker spot for them? I think, you know, Florida's going to force Joe Burrow to beat them. And, you know, that's going to be the grave that they have to line. You know, I think they're going to throw a lot at Burrow. They're going to make him throw off his back foot. They're going to make him throw on the run. I think that they're going to make and force him to make a lot of, you know, decisions, you know, quickly. Uh-huh. You know, I think that Florida's going to by far the fastest defense that, you know, they've played this, you know, thus far this season. So, you know, if they can do that, then I really like Florida's chances. Where I struggle is if Florida's not able to get pressure and you give Burrow the opportunity to let those plays develop, then, you know, there's some question marks that I have in that safety position that I'm worried that, you know, maybe getting beat over top.
I need Zoo to come back hungry, and I'm good. He's Zoo hungry. With long my man Grenard, I'm good to go. I ain't worried about Nathaniel.
Man, Moon been holding it down though.
Yeah, Moon has been holding it down. Definitely.
Moon been hooping, man. So shout out to Moon.
Word of the week, Ahmad. What you got for your boy Dan?
Dan, the word of the week. You ready for this one, Dan?
You ready? Born ready. Born ready.
Mammy.
He gotta know what that is.
Your mom?
So you gotta know that.
Argue with your mammy, Dan. What you got to say to
your mammy? Is that your grandma?
No, it's your mom, Dan.
It's just your mom. I was right the first time. Okay, you didn't tell me, so I just have to keep guessing.
Yeah, country white people say mammy, bro. Country white people say mammy.
Yeah. Some
of the stuff we just get from them.
Yeah, so really, Dan. So Dan, really, them pictures weren't photos, Dan. You really, them really your pictures.
That's right. Yeah, me with the do-rag, me with the do-rag, me with the grill.
Damn,
my wife is not gonna
know what to expect. A dude with, you know, with tattoos and a grill, or, you know, a regular white guy, Dan.
As far as she knows I don't exist. So I'm excited to see, you know, what she thinks I look like. So we're just gonna keep throwing stuff on the timeline. hey, anybody that does Photoshop, feel free to take any of the photos that we've put up, add, you know, additional, you know, tattoos, whatever you guys want to add. I'm here for it. A lot of it's for Katie, just so we keep her on her toes, you know?
Yeah, I think you exist, dog. So,
gifts and dive in detail. That's all you, my man.
Hey, man. All right, Ahmad. We're gonna do our deep dive with 35. As always, Sean Gibson and our boy over at Gibson Dive in Detail is sponsoring this segment, 352-514-1486. Again, if you need anything done with boat detailing, underwater hull cleaning, dive recovery, referrals, anything that you need related to your boat, give Sean a call over at Gibson Dive in Detail. Again, 352-514-1486. So Ahmad, there's a question, and again, we go on Patreon, right? And so every week, go to patreon.com/stadiumandgale. We look through our messages, and we've asked everybody that's a Patreon member to give us the one question they'd ask Ahmad. So if you want to ask Ahmad a question, just hit up our Patreon. You know, we'd love your support over there. Again, patreon.com/stadiumandgale. So this question, Ahmad, it's going to be a unique one for you. So you got to think about this. You know, I think you got to think of all of the different things that could happen. So who are the five Gators that you play with? So during your time from 2007, 2011, who are the guys that you played with that you would want on your team in a barroom brawl? Not sure what that question is. Not sure.
I'm not even sure if I want to even answer that shit.
Yeah, man, answer that, bro. That's a good question. What do you mean?
Man, shoot, you know, it won't even be no brawl. We ain't brawling about nothing. I'm scrapping Chico. We ain't brawling about nothing. All right. I'm scrapping Tony Jordan. We're not scrapping about nothing. Okay.
And jeez.
Good, bro. You got an interesting lineup here.
Derek Harvey.
Okay.
Because Derek Harvey, bro, Urban Meyer said the only person he's scared of on our team was Derek Harvey, bro. Out his own mouth, I heard him say that before. All right. I got Derek Harvey. Let me see.
Was Aaron Hernandez on that team?
Yes, bro.
I think Urban was a bad judge of character then. Clearly.
Man. All right, let me think of who else. I gotta rock with my man Joe Hayden, because we got him. You know, I know he gonna do
really
something. Yeah, Joe gonna do
something. I didn't know Hayden rolled like that, but
I thought Joe's the pretty guy, bro.
Yeah,
and I gotta take BJ with me, because I seen BJ do some crazy stuff. Not my boy.
And he's a shorter guy, right? So come up, a little surprise,
a little leverage, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, be done. So I got a tough little lineup, man. We ain't, you know.
That's a hell of a lineup. I think, after the first two, you were pretty good.
But you know, we don't play like that. So you know, we just hang out. We nice guys. So we don't condone the violence anyway. So, but hypothetically, I just asked you.
Guest of the week for Brunt Insurance Financial Services. It's going to be my man Thomas Goldcamp for 247. Going to come on and kick it with us, talk a little LSU and some recruiting. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the Keys, holler at my man Greg, 954-589-2204. Again, that's Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, homes, auto, my man Greg got you. 954-589-2204. Big policies, baby.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
For the first time on the show, we got my man Thomas Goldcamp for 247 Sports. Thomas, how's it going, man?
It's great, man. How you doing tonight?
Hanging out, man. We got LSU this week, so figure we get you on the cheer for your team a little bit.
Okay, yeah. All right, I got to set the record straight right off the bat, man. I hated LSU growing up. I didn't want to go to LSU, so I left the state and went to UF. All right, we're good.
All right, man. So, I mean, before we get into the game, last week we had a big weekend and a big commit. Let the people know what we got with Isaiah Walker, four-star offensive tackle.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you watch Florida this year. I don't think it's any secret that the Gators need some help on the offensive line. he's one of two guys that they've really been targeting at offensive tackle, you know, with Marcus Dumervil obviously being the other one. Florida's been on this guy for a while. You know, there was some snafus with spelling his name wrong on a recruiting graphic. I think everybody kind of saw that. But the Gators have done a good job of just staying on him, and they really recruited him heavily throughout the process. I think a lot of people kind of saw this one probably coming soon. But I thought it was cool that, I don't know if you guys saw the video that came out, somebody that was standing down near the field next to Mullen when Walker was there, and it sounded like he kind of committed on that video, and it was really cool to see Dan kind of say, hey, you want to be a part of Gator Nation? And, you know, the guy says yes, and then they take a big hug. So, I mean, that's the spot, you know, looking at Florida's offensive line right now, I think they really only have three tackles on the roster. So the Gators had to get some help, and, you know, Walker's a huge first step in that area.
Now, we had a big weekend last game, a lot of big-time recruits on campus, a lot of stars. Do you think Dan Mullen's season and the way we're playing is going to help him on the trail going forward?
I think absolutely. I mean, anytime you get the kind of atmosphere that the fans created in the Swamp on Saturday, I mean, that's what's been missing at Florida. Now, I know that, look, so that's kind of a problem in college football in general. You know, the stadiums just don't feel like they used to. But I think Dan Mullen said it after to the team. He said, this is what the Swamp used to be. Then he said, this is what the Swamp is. This is what the Swamp's going to be going forward. And I think, anybody that was in that stadium knows how electric it was. I don't see any way that doesn't seriously help Florida. You know, maybe for a lot of these 2020 kids that are already kind of leaning one way or the other, it doesn't help a whole lot. But for the guys that are 2021, and Florida had an absolutely loaded list of 2021 guys, I mean, man, that's got to help just a ton going forward.
Thomas, how would you, I mean, you know, so there's still a lot of, you know, chips up in the air, you know, with this class, but how would you rank, you know, kind of Dan Mullen's coaching staff when it comes to recruiting and, you know, the way that they recruit and some of the ways that, you know, I'm thinking mainly at like the offensive line. It seems like John Hevesy is the type of guy that wants to take his guys compared to just these highly ranked guys. But how would you compare, or, you know, what would you say about the recruiting staff that Florida has right now?
Well, I think they're getting better. You know, I think the first class was a little bit disappointing, more so because of how it kind of panned out. And, you know, you had a couple guys that didn't end up in the class. There were some unforeseen snags. When you look at it and the guys that got in, it just came up a little underwhelming. Having said that, I think the biggest thing you can say in favor of Dan Mullen and the way they're recruiting right now is there's not necessarily a ton of gaps on the roster in terms of, you know, leaving spots that maybe need attention. You know, defensive tackle would maybe be the one that you look at. And I think when you look at this 2020 class, after really only signing one guy in the past two classes at that interior tackle spot, Florida's gone out and they've really been aces getting that spot taken care of. So I don't necessarily see any like big holes like kind of you saw with the offensive line under Jim McElwain and Will Muschamp. I do think the staff could probably still be a little bit more aggressive. You know, that I don't know that they necessarily have that elite bulldog recruiter type. But like you said, I think Florida does its own evaluations. I mean, there's no question about it. There are guys that Florida has liked more than other staffs that have panned out well. And I think the proof will be in the pudding. But I was actually listening. I wasn't listening. I take that back. I saw on Twitter today on Feinbaum, he kind of made a comment that, you know, the one thing that's really missing right now at Florida is the five stars. And Dan Mullen's doing what he's done at Florida. He's gone 16-3 without a lot of five stars on the roster. And if you're in that stadium on Saturday night against Auburn, those are the kind of wins, those are the kind of games with ESPN's College Game Day in town, those are the games that start to shift the national perception. And as that starts to happen, right, I think you're starting to see more of these five-star types. So I think a lot of it's going to be Dan Mullen kind of continuing that winning on the field. But I think that they are starting to put the groundwork in to really maybe get back to more of those elite classes. I don't know if Dan Mullen's ever going to be an Urban Meyer type recruiter where, you know, you're talking top three every year. But I do think they're making progress, and I think the biggest thing that stands out to me, even if the stars aren't necessarily there, they're hitting all their needs for the most part.
Yeah, Thomas, Thomas,
how do you think this game plays out? Last week was a big week. We got a gauntlet of that we got to go through to win this SEC East. How big is this game? How important is this game, and how you think it plays out?
Well, I think big picture-wise, it's not all that important. And I don't mean to minimize, you know, this game. Obviously, it's a huge game that everyone would love to see Florida go win. But it's an SEC West game. Even if you lose this one, as long as you take care of business at South Carolina, You got a massive showdown against Georgia, and all your season goals are still in front of you. So from that standpoint, I don't know that it's that big. But again, I go back to, you know, what Florida did against Auburn last week. Those are the kind of games that change national perception. And really for these recruits, those are the games where if you go and win back-to-back, beat Auburn and then LSU, you start to change the entire perception of the program. And you just make that rebuild a little bit quicker. So it's a big game. In terms of how it plays out, I got to be honest with you, I don't necessarily love the matchup for Florida. And the reason I say that is because I think the reason Dan Mullen's been so effective so far is because he's very good at managing all three phases of the game, and he knows what his team can do and can't do. And I think Florida so far this season has been able to keep games played in a way that they want to play them. So even with turnovers against Miami and against Auburn, both of those games, Florida was coaching from a very comfortable standpoint in the sense that, like against Auburn, they had the lead the entire time. So they never felt like they had to press. I think LSU is a dangerous game for Florida because Joe Burrow is a very good quarterback. LSU has some weapons, and you have a very, very tough environment. If LSU is able to get an early lead, I think that changes a little bit. It basically changes the dynamic of how Dan Mullen can maybe call the game. I thought the key to last week's game, you know, everybody was talking about Auburn's D-line. And I'm sitting over here and I'm like, look, dude, if Florida's defense takes care of business, Dan Mullen's good enough of a coach to create some offensive drives where they're going to score points. I think the defense is going to have to play really well against LSU. And I think LSU's good enough that they're probably still going to score some. So to me, this game almost comes down more to the offense and whether or not the offense can start cleaning up some of those sloppy turnovers they've had. You know, whether they can, if they do get in a race with LSU on the scoreboard, how good can Kyle Trask be? And I think we're going to start to find out some of those answers this week.
Hey, Thomas, as a notable LSU fan and Homer, and obviously I know you're a big fan of them. What are your thoughts on their defense? You know, we've seen LSU be one of the top, you know, 10, 20 defenses, especially under Ed Orgeron over the last, you know, we'll just say past 5 years or so. But it seems like this year this defense is a little bit different. They seem to be giving out more plays, definitely giving out more points than they have previously. Do you think Florida can capitalize on that? And if so, how do you think they're able to do that?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't had a whole lot of chance to watch many LSU games yet this year. I saw parts of the Texas game, but I was kind of falling asleep. That was a long weekend. So I'm gonna try to watch more LSU. I'd really like to see the Utah State game because I know a lot of fans have pointed to that one and said, hey, look, they had some success against LSU's D. I know Vandy scored, you know, a lot against LSU. So for me, looking at it kind of on paper and from afar, I think LSU, I would guess, has maybe struggled a little bit with the tempo their offense is running at. And maybe that's why you see the defense struggling a little bit more. Obviously, they've had some injuries. You know, Rashard Lawrence, if he can't go against Florida, that's going to be a big deal. But they, you know, they get Kalavon Chaisson back. So that's going to be big. I think they're getting healthier in certain spots. But the defense, I think, is one area where they're not necessarily fully healthy. You know, they've only got, I think, 4 cornerbacks potentially available this week. Now, all those guys are individually talented. But when you start to talk about depth and Florida wearing all on right. people, that I think can be, you know, something that works in Florida's favor. And I think you're going to see Dan Mullen try to maybe pick on a couple of those guys and really try to wear them out over the course of the game. I don't think, based on the numbers, that this LSU defense definitely is as good as some of those units you're used to seeing. You know, there's a couple difference makers up front, but I don't know that it's, you know, one of these units like 07 where you had a Glenn Dorsey and other guys just absolutely eaten. And then the other thing is I think Florida's pass protected well. So you're coming off a game against Auburn. I don't see LSU being as disruptive as Auburn was, I don't think.
Yeah, and what do you expect from Todd Grantham? You know, we were talking about a little bit earlier on the podcast, and we had Brody Miller from The Athletic on. We were talking a little bit about it with him. It seems like, you know, Todd Grantham has dialed back blitzes at least in the last couple games. Do you think that we start to see, you know, more of that against LSU, or what do you think that Grantham is going to do to try to scheme against, you know, Joe Burrow and LSU's offense?
Well, I think the biggest thing for Florida is Grantham's been able to be more patient and not have to dial up blitzes. Florida really last year struggled to get pressure when it only rushed 4, and that's why you saw them so aggressive. I think this year you're seeing Florida's getting there with 4 a lot of the time. And he'll still mix in a 5th rusher here and there, but I mean, for the most part against Auburn, Florida was 4 down guys, and they just basically rotated who the 4th guy was. It was interesting, we were talking to Grantham tonight, really just a couple minutes ago, and he was talking about kind of his defensive philosophy and how he likes to approach things. when he's able to get defensive linemen that can rush like that, it's really easy for him to mix up that fourth rusher. And he said that he really picked up his philosophy from when he was in the NFL and he watched Peyton Manning, and just year after year, he seemed to struggle beating the Patriots defense. Like he could sit there when people were rushing four down linemen and absolutely shred defenses. But as soon as the Patriots started disguising who that fourth guy was that was coming, Peyton really had trouble. Peyton Manning, okay? So you're talking about college quarterbacks. I think that's an area where Florida is going to maybe probably confuse Joe Burrow a little bit more than he has been. You look at the game last year, Joe Burrow came into that game, hadn't thrown an interception all year, and Florida was able to create some confusion for him. So I thought you saw it, especially against Auburn. Florida really was only rushing four. There were a couple plays that stood out to me. One was like a corner blitz where Trey Dean comes in. And we know at this point that David Reese is pretty limited in coverage. I think Florida's done a good job of hiding when he's in coverage. They had that play I'm talking about where, you know, Trey Dean comes on a corner blitz and Reese ends up like sprinting out. But because of the way it was set up pre-snap, you know, Auburn wasn't able to realize that Reese was in man coverage on the slot guy. And you end up getting pressure with four on that play. And I want to say it even resulted in a sack. So I think those are the things that Todd Grantham's doing. I think a huge part of that is just that Florida's defensive linemen have really, really taken a step forward collectively across the board. And they've been able to generate pressure with pretty much four guys. And it's been a lot of different guys that have been having success, too.
Hey, Thomas, what defensive player and then maybe, I guess, an offensive player, too, has surprised you this year?
That's a good question. Defensively, I would probably say Jeremiah Moon has probably impressed me the most. Just in terms of the level of jump he's made. He was a guy that I wasn't necessarily sold on coming into the year. And obviously Florida adding Jonathan Grenard has been huge in that regard, because I think it's allowed Moon to maybe step into that pass rushing role without sort of the pressure that he might have had if it was just him. But he's done a much better job, I think, of being physical at the point of attack and really being able to turn plays back inside and set the edge. And I thought that's where he struggled a year ago. So he's probably the guy I think that stands out most defensively. On offense, it's really hard to say because Florida's had so many guys from the skill position standpoint that have been good. I mean, you know, I've always felt Josh Hammond was a little bit underrated, but, you know, you look at the game Freddie Swain had last weekend against Auburn. There's so many to choose from. I don't know that I have one that really stands out. You know, maybe Kyle Pitts, but I was pretty high on him to start. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Injury-wise, everybody's healthy?
Yeah. If you believe Dan Mullen, Jabari Zuniga should be back this week. And I'm inclined to believe him. I don't think that Florida would have wasted a roster spot on him in a game against Auburn where you're limited on who you can dress out if he wasn't pretty close to healthy and he couldn't have played in a pinch. So I'd expect Zuniga back. You know, we'll see throughout the week with Kyle Trask, but he seemed to be feeling pretty good today. And then, you know, most of the other guys that got nicked up this week, Sean Davis, John Grenard, you know, those guys will be fine.
And just because we were recording, I missed, you know, part of it. I'm not sure if Mullen said anything. Did they expect, and they might not even say it in the press conference, do they expect Trask to maybe go light this week to try to, you know, recover as much as he can? Or did they talk anything about that?
No, they didn't. But my guess would be that he's probably going to practice as is. I mean, those guys aren't taking contact in practice. And I think with a game of, you know, this importance, I don't think you can afford to really dial too much back with him.
And then how do you expect, you know, I think, you know, when Emory Jones came in, when Kyle Trask got injured, played pretty well. You know, what do you expect his role to be against, you know, LSU this week?
Well, I think it'll be probably pretty similar to what you saw against Auburn. You know, I think he's going to continue to get in there during certain series. And look, Florida hasn't done a whole lot that's super creative with him yet. And I think that's coming at some point. I mean, you saw the Georgia game last year, how they, you know, they kind of ran his base stuff and then threw in a wrinkle and dropped a bomb downfield, and it looked pretty good. I think you see what Jones did against Auburn last week. You got to be pretty impressed. I mean, he came in and really performed well to the point that, you know, Kyle Trask came back out there and Emory still got a full series because they wanted to be 100% on Trask. That's a testament to Emory and the kind of work he's put in. And this is a game where I wouldn't be surprised if Florida throws in some kind of trick play wrinkle, you know, maybe even a two quarterback look or something like that, but he's going to keep playing.
Love it. And then what do you have as a score prediction for this game?
I got to hold my score prediction for later in the week, but,
We won't tell anybody.
I know. You guys are ragging on me for you know, the LSU homer thing. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to end up taking the Tigers in this one.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us were 50-50 on the two. But, man, Thomas, we appreciate you coming on today. You know, it's always good to chat with you. And, you know, we appreciate your stuff. Why don't you tell everybody? I'm sure they know where they can find you. But why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and read all your stuff?
Yeah, guys, I want to thank you first for having me on, man. I love the show. You guys get some absolutely awesome interviews, so I've really appreciated listening to it. But if you want to find my stuff, you can check it out online at swamp247.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Thomas Goldkamp. I don't necessarily plug my stuff a whole lot, but those are the two places to find it.
Yeah, and Amaz, like, got the flu or something, bro, so he's a little shy today with the flu.
I'm sick.
I hope you feel better, man. I hope you feel better. We got a big game coming up.
Yeah, man. I stopped my pasty, man. So I'm sorry about that. I'm going to be quiet.
You're good. Y'all have a good one, man.
All right, man. Hold it down.
Hey, we appreciate it, Thomas. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Sounds good.
So let's get into some recruiting talk. Thomas, not really a heavy recruiting guy, but I do want to talk about Isaiah Walker. Big time commitment. Committed before the game, which said a lot to me. He could have waited to see how this game play out and go by energy, but that was a kid that was going to commit regardless. He showed up to commit. He had already committed in his mind, so it was something everybody was expecting. A lot of big names on campus. Emmitt Smith was with Junior.
Yeah, it was he's great. I mean, he's a good running back. You know, I know that Florida is, you know, needs a running back. They might even two. You know, I like him. You know, I know that he doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't tip his hand. We don't really know what he's going to do. But you have to imagine that he loved the atmosphere. He loved the fanfare, you know, that his dad got when he was on campus. And, you know, we don't really know. You know, he's a guy that's up in the air, but, you know, Florida really needs a running back, and he's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good reviews. Doomerville was on campus. He sent out a tweet as well, enjoying his visit with his family. Was on campus a couple of days with a lot of the guys. So it was a successful weekend with getting guys on campus. One big commit, and we'll see how it goes going forward.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of guys. I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Andrew Spivey for some of this information. So I appreciate him from Gator Country. But, you know, Florida had – I think he's five-star, Darnell Washington, the tight end. You know, Florida is trying to recruit him in that very similar position that they've played Kyle Pitts in. And I think if you're a tight end, and I think D. Beckwith is kind of the same way, that if you look at the way that Kyle Pitts is playing, you've got to be at least interested, even if you weren't before. And I'm not saying it's enough to sway you, but, you know, I think that there's a lot of reason to look at the way Kyle Pitts is playing and be like, wow, you know, that's going to be a position that I can do well. I know that he's looking at Georgia as well. I think Georgia still has the lead. I think that Georgia ultimately is going to get him, but I think that Florida's been recruiting him really well. Desmond Evans was on campus, going to be setting up an official visit to Gainesville. So they're competing heavily against North Carolina for that one. Like you said, Silk, Marcus Doomerville was on campus, had a good another good weekend. I think it's him and LSU, or Florida and LSU for him. And then D. Beckwith was on campus. You know, Florida's competing against Kentucky for that one. I think that Florida's in a good position to get him if they want him. Zacavius Walker, you know, guy that Florida had on for an official visit, you know, still a big Georgia commit, right? So I think that Georgia's going to ultimately still end up with him, but getting him on campus is the first thing. And then, you know, Tim Smith, Jacquez Robinson were on campus. You know, a bunch of, like Thomas said, a bunch of 2021 guys, Savion Collins, Leonard Taylor, Bryce Langston, Trevante Rucker. So a lot of huge names on campus this week. So, you know, Florida hasn't had a great home schedule yet. So this was their first big one, and they absolutely blew it out of the water. So for all accounts, it was a great weekend for Florida.
Very good weekend. We'll see how it goes going forward. Florida State is another big weekend for a lot of the commits. Or recruits, I meant, and we'll see how big that weekend is. It's not going to be as big a game. We're not going to have game day in the building because everybody know FSU is cheeks at this point, so we won't have that type of atmosphere. But it's a big day, and a lot of those guys that are in between Florida State get to see us, Molly Watt, Willie on our field. So that'd be nice. Good show, fellas. Amar, you okay, baby?
I'm good. You hear my voice? That shit is like, nasty, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. Boy, you gotta get on some vitamins.
You went from.
I was hyped.
Went from here to zero real quick. Yeah.
I should sound like I'm about to die over this.
It's all good, dog. Get better. Get you some vitamin C and whatnot when we get off of here. Who got the song this week?
I do, of course.
I better get some Lil Boosie then.
Lil Boosie.
I didn't think about that.
Lil Boosie knows that.
We're gonna go. We're gonna go to the Ninth Ward. I didn't even think about that until. We're gonna go to the Ninth Ward. Growing up, I mean, we've talked a lot about this in the past, but when I was like, I think I got introduced to the Hot Boys and like Lil Wayne, Juvenile, BG, Turk, the rest of them. I just named all the Hot Boys, so whatever. But anyway, so like when I was in like sixth grade, seventh grade, so from like then until like I was like 20, 21, like that's all I listened to. So, the Carter Three, very, very, one of my favorite albums of all time, but I'm going to go with the Carter Five. So the new one from Lil Wayne last year, just because it's Louisiana, so we're gonna play "Can't Be Broken."
This is the longest. This is the longest song selection ever.
I think he finna do something like 500 degrees, and he go all the way to the Carter Five.
I go all the way. I advance packs. You know, the drought is over. All of them. So we're going all the way to the Carter Five. We're going to play Can't Be Broken because I think that Florida's going to – I don't think Florida's broken this week. So, hey, we go Can't Be Broken by Weezy.
After that long-ass story, Dan, I want you to rap it for me, bro. Come on, man. Rap that. Perform that.
No. I'll leave it up to the professionals for this one. I may look like a rapper on Twitter.
Already. Hey, appreciate Dan, y'all for pulling up the stage.
Dan, you got to be there for Halloween, Dan.
I'll be there. I'll be at Florida, Georgia, baby.
You got to put a do-rag on.
All right. I'll even tie it in all in front of everybody.
Good time, fellas.
That could be on YouTube trying to see how to do it.
Hey, I'll see you guys next week. You know, the best part about being 6-0, right?
Hey, 7-0, baby.
Let's do it. I'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Unbreakable, they scared to face the truth because they hate the view, they taste the juice. I hope it make them puke. I'm breaking loose. Should I throw up the deuce or should I wave the deuce? In 1982, my mama take me to a space shuttle. Say now I'm raising you, and ain't no baby food unless you go and take the neighbor's food and be afraid of who. I made the loot when money went from almond green to navy blue. I said salute, bulletproof. I gave them proof. Sometimes feel like my head is screwed, twisted like tornadoes too. Man, I'ma need some crazy glue. Her walls is what I'm breaking through. Her nails, she gon' break a few. You could never break me down, and I can't hit the brakes for you.
You cannot break down what can't be broken. Out of all the rankless, I was chosen. Yeah. When all of the lights, they get low. And all of the curtains, they close. You cannot break down what can't be broken.
Fix the brakes, you emulate, I'm laughing in your face. Now fix your face, I can't disintegrate, cause I facilitate a meal a day for like a million days. At least the bills are paid, the children safe. Wanna get away? No, I'm here to stay. I'm really great, but don't discriminate, cause I done seen a mirror break behind a pretty face. You
you sticking out your chest, your titties fake. Don't make me pick your fate, I'm picking out a mate. She get replaced, the heart was built to break. I'm smoking icky, watching Ricky Lake. I got a lawyer that turned any case into a pillowcase. My killer straight, let's do some Q&A. You saw the news today, got news to break and rules to break. It hurt to say they wanna get a tune to break. It's worth the wait, commercial break.
You cannot break down what can't be broken.
Chico.
Out of all the rankless, I was chosen. When all of the lights they get low and all of the curtains they close, you cannot break down what can't be broken.
Chico, Chico, we can't break the Chico, we bros. Can't break for these hoes, Chico.
Can't be broken.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.